All right, Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey analyst, but more importantly, our good buddy in studio. What's up, Pooley?
Well, you know, I was just caught the tail end of your last guest, who I crossed paths with early in his time in Philadelphia, and my time as well. I mean, so the Sixers had won the NBA championship in 83, but they had the fifth pick in the draft in 84. They made some deal, right? So Barkley was tearing it up at Auburn. He was the round mound to rebound. So they brought him in before the draft, secretly. And the owner at that time had a basketball court in his house. So they did it all covertly. They brought him in, you know, as a big secret. And they told him, you got to lose 10 pounds before the draft. He was 3'10". At 6'4 and a half. And Charles famously said, I went home and ate everything in sight. I did not want to go to Philly. So when they brought him in, that was Pat Croce's project. He was our conditioning coach and the Sixers conditioning coach.
Right.
And I would, if you'd have brought that name up to Charles, Pat Croce, he made him the professional that he was. Because he was just an incredibly talented, great big kid, you know, who had no idea what he could be.
Hall of
to
Famer.
Win the rebounding championship at 6'4 and a half is crazy. Like, it's crazy. Even when you see him on the set beside Shaq, you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 6'4 and a half doesn't make you stick out necessarily.
He seems
it's right
a
on
lot
the
bigger,
like, yeah,
like
he does.
Maybe it's because he is a wide
guy.
He
is bigger now.
He seems like I'm shocked that you said that he's 6'4". Like I would think that he's 6'7", 6'8". That's when in my mind I think most basketball players are that.
He might list himself at 6'6". I don't even think he does. I think he lists himself openly as what he was.
No point now.
Yeah.
I mean, who are you
trying
to fool?
Now it's even better, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Exactly. Now you want to go south.
He was funny, though. And so in our morning workout group, we had a number of guys, depending on what exactly was happening, but Dr. J was part of it, the end of his career, and Mike Schmidt. But Daryl Stanley and Dave Brown came in when they were rookies, right?
Yeah.
And Daryl Stanley would take his teeth out and put them on the music so Charles wouldn't change the music because he couldn't get through the teeth to change the music.
Right. Was that common practice to stay in Philly, like during the offseason?
I did. Philly was one of the first teams to have an offseason camp for young guys and bring them in, and they were ahead of their time in doing things that are normal now. You know, it used to be you just went home. I just lived in the city I played in, and Dr. J did as well. Mike Schmidt would train in season. So he'd train in the morning and play in a baseball game that night.
Really?
Yeah, which was crazy. And he won the MVP at 30.
Yeah, it was
5 years
he was
old.
In good
and
shape.
For then, it was
phenomenal.
Really
phenomenal
old.
Shape.
Phenomenal.
Right.
Like I remember him, but like I don't remember how he was put together. Or
he
anything.
Was. He was really. He wasn't overly big, but he was really, really ripped and really like he loved the conditioning part of it and was just getting to baseball.
Yeah.
And he was ahead of his time, and he literally, I think he was 35 or 36 when he won the MVP. So it was a unique morning group. And so if you were doing, say, sit-up reps, and you're doing 60 of one exercise, Charles would have to count his 10 out, right? So if he fell somewhere in the 40 to 50 range or the 50 to 60 range.
Wow. You got to keep him honest.
Absolutely.
You got to stay on top of these guys.
Absolutely.
Dave Poulin in studio. Today, big anniversary in the city. 4 years ago today, Mike Babcock was hired. I read that this morning. How would you characterize that run so far? 4 years with Babcock.
In progress.
Yeah.
In progress. I think the whole time factor of this is, you know, one of the things I said when I was in a management position there was, I hope we have enough time. I used to say it internally and externally. I hope we get enough time. It just, you know.
Happens quick.
But it happens quick, and you don't know what the timing is of the build. And where the build is coming, and this year is throwing it. I don't even know how you build a team now compared to the conventional way. Like, I think a person that's going to turn a team around pretty quickly on this whole, you know, maybe Vegas-like or Carolina-like runs of the last couple of years is Kenny Holland.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I think he is. He's got all the experience. He's got all the. He'll get out from under some of those contracts.
Yeah, he's got to work his magic. He's just got to tell the owner to kind of take a step back and give me a blank check. But, you know, getting back to Babcock, that's interesting. 4 years. Like that has happened quick.
It's flown
and we were on this show.
Tracking,
I remember like tracking. There was people, yeah, Maple Leaf Hot Stove, and people were
where the
like
plane
sending
was.
Us notes like there's a, you know, MLS plane in Detroit and tracking it. It seems like it's gone quick, but what's his deal? 6 years or eight?
It's an 8-year deal. He's only at the halfway mark.
But he's halfway. Like, I would say this, and this is no more pressure than Mike's already has, but the next couple years are very crucial for him, for them. Like he already, I believe, we've talked about this, he's on the clock.
And he's on the clock.
I think after this playoff run, people started to, I don't want to say the luster came off of Mike a little bit, but you know, people are starting, this is the first year that I've been kind of from on the outside watching, challenging some decisions.
Well, if you don't win, that's what happens. It doesn't matter.
When he first got here, he was the winner, and it was almost like he couldn't be challenged because he would just look at people and say, "You got to dig in. That's what winning's all about." And everyone in Toronto was like, "Oh, he must know because no one's done it around here, so we can't question him."
Right.
Which is ridiculous, but that's the way it was.
Well, that's the way it was. I think this is a prime example of how the goalpost it moves
right
as the time goes on. Because I think if we were to go back 4 years ago today, and we were to tell any Maple Leaf fan, let's not forget, he took over before the tank.
Right.
Like, they tanked his first year. He took over before the tank.
But it was a double tank. They took over.
He took over for Horacek and Carlisle.
And Horacek had tanked that they had tanked.
But it was
massively that year.
Right. But that was not a planned tank. That was the wheels have fallen off, and this is a disaster. If you went back 4 years ago and said, they're going to make the playoffs three of the next 4 years, they're going to have north of 100 points two of the next 4 years, you would have said it was a resounding success.
Would you ask the next question about had they won a playoff round?
Well, that's where the goalpost all of a sudden starts to move.
The hard part here is, Brian, is that how does this get easier over the next 2 years? Like, I think Tampa Bay is going to be lit next year coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they will.
Motivated as any team you could think of.
We were talking about it. Even if Boston wins the Cup, heading into the regular season, not the playoffs, couldn't you see Tampa winning the East again?
Absolutely.
I think they're the favorite, regardless of what happens.
They're going to be hungry.
Yeah. Now, they've got some issues to sort out, too. Like, mm-hmm. Braden Point's not just going to sign for $850,000.
Right.
Like, they're going to have some moving parts. But, you know, on paper, they're...
And there's a different guy moving the parts.
Yes, exactly.
That's a significant...
Like, Yzerman is not there as a consultant anymore. Like, this is all on Julian Brisebois.
But he's got a pretty decent blueprint.
No, he does. There's no question.
Like,
the amazing thing about Stevie Yzerman was what he managed to do in a tough situation with a Jonathan Drouin, with a Martin Saint-Louis. Like, he seemed to maneuver out of really tough situations and come back with a lot of stuff.
Didn't he not choose Marty Saint-Louis for the Olympic team?
2014, exactly. Yeah.
That was his player.
Exactly.
That's pretty tough.
Oh.
But didn't he ultimately go because of an injury?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
And I think it was Stamkos who was injured.
Yeah, the leg.
Oh, no, it was Tavares broke his leg, right?
No, he
was already there when he
broke
did that.
Broke his leg at the tournament. Right. I think it was Stamkos.
Stamkos had, like, some medical thing where at the last minute they said, we're not letting you go.
Right. Wasn't it that clot? He had a clot. Didn't...
I think it was when he broke his leg in Boston, and then he was hoping to rehab in time, and I don't think he could make it back. But which coach in this division, the Atlantic Division, do you think has the most pressure on them to succeed next year?
Mike Babcock.
More so than John Cooper?
Well, that's just they're both in the same boat playoffs. It's about playoffs. They're both going to make the playoffs.
Right. I think they are for sure, but
you're right. Like, I would say people in this market say it's Babcock because of what they haven't won a playoff run. So they're like, Tampa's at least had some success. They've won rounds and
they've gone to the finals.
And both coaches are the teams. The teams are not in a position where you're going to be like, well, you know, he's probably got 20 games, and if it doesn't go well, they're talented enough where I don't think that's going to be a situation.
Their judgment is coming in April and further next year.
Like, could you see Toronto or Tampa being in trouble 20 games in?
No.
Where they were waiting, and there's, okay, pull the plug on that guy.
No, not at all. The only thing, and I think it'll be addressed this summer, is the backup goaltender. If Freddie comes back and doesn't have a great season or gets injured or something... And
like the 1 year Lavi in Philly, he was under the gun. He lasted three games.
Yeah,
and just said,
never.
This.
That's not a chance.
Three, I think it was.
Yeah.
Denny Quinville Savard was four in Chicago when Quenville took over.
Right.
Three is pretty tough.
Yeah. Like, no. Both of those guys would be on the chopping block after if there was an early exit again next year for either one of them.
But think about the coaches in this division. That's a pretty high-profile group of coaches. Like, Florida's going to be better.
Well, you might have Patrick Waugh in the division.
Florida's going to be better. Yeah. Cassidy.
He's a fantastic
coach. I wasn't a huge Butch Cassidy fan his first time through when he was with Washington. It was, you know, just was a young guy, and it was, and then he went down and he redid it. He re-earned his Spurs in the American Hockey League. He's a really good coach now. And then you got Claude Julien, and you got Babcock,
right? Cooper,
and you got Coop. And it's Cube. A pretty heavy.
Well, yeah.
Are you buying this Patrick Waugh stuff in Ottawa?
I actually think it would be a good hire if they ended up doing it. And the only reason being is I think Patrick has enough, I don't know what the word, like balls, if Eugene Melnyk wants to, you know, mess around a little, not mess around, I don't know what the wording would be, but
be involved.
I think Patrick's the guy would be like, no, I'm going to do it this way.
What was wrong with the job, the guy that went behind the bench?
Mark Crawford?
Yeah.
I think he did a fantastic job. And I believe that it's, I don't know, but it sounds like they want a veteran guy who's able to have a strong voice.
Why would it be Patrick Waugh over Mark Crawford?
I mean, I will say
well,
this.
Name value.
I think Pierre Dorion, it's at least smart to be interviewing. Sounds like he's interviewed six or seven guys.
Yes. Patrick was the seventh one. That was okay, a surprise one. I'm not sure what he was waiting for because he wasn't working.
Yeah.
The thought was that he was waiting because the guy was coaching in the playoffs right now.
Right.
Everybody was speculating it was Brad Shaw, who was an Ottawa guy. And,
right.
And but he wasn't part of it. Rick Bonus went in on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah.
I thought the surprise was that Waugh wanted to coach again.
Well, he coached this year in Quebec,
he
hadn't coached. He had a window of 2 years. He hadn't coached.
Yeah.
And then he actually sold the junior team in Quebec.
And somebody asked me this today, and I actually... Has any of the shine come off of Patrick Waugh because of the way he exited Colorado?
Should have.
I said yes.
I think so. It was a bail job.
And didn't they put up 47 points that year?
He screwed over Bednar and that organization so badly. And, you know, at the time, people were like, well, he saw it coming. And then all of a sudden, the next year, they make the playoffs. And then next year, they make the playoffs.
And they're climbing.
And they're climbing.
And Sakic, whether he had a plan, it's worked out. So far, he's got some good young players to build around there. Right. But, yeah, I think the shine came off of Patrick just the way he exited. It's the way it sounded. We don't know.
Like, assume it was a power struggle. That's what we assume. We assume it was about personnel. And you know, and if he's going into Ottawa, does he have some say in player personnel?
See, that would be another thing. You know, that's...
Well, I could see him selling Melnyk on that.
But
I don't know if he'd sell Dorion on it, but Melnyk might step in and say, I want you, and you can get it.
But
yes.
You look at Ottawa's got some really good young pieces coming. It's just now you've got to... You got to wait, let them grow, I mean, there is going to be some lean times there, but man, they've got some fantastic players there. It's just how are you going to manage them up and shape the team around them?
We'll see.
Yep.
Pooley, good seeing you, buddy, as always.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
Thank you for joining us. There's Dave Pooley, our TSN hockey analyst.